performance, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there.
Greetings, men. This is Lionel Barrymore, welcoming you to a very special command performance. Tonight, we're celebrating the 5th anniversary of Armed Forces Radio Service, the organization that serves as the middleman in bringing you the best the entertainment industry has to offer. Yes, for 5 years, American servicemen and women throughout the world have been sending in orders for their favorites of stage, screen, and radio. And for 5 years, through the medium of Armed Forces Radio, the entertainment industry has responded to your orders with the finest array of talent ever heard on any network. I see many of your favorites, and mine, are here already to help us celebrate this great occasion, and I know that more will be dropping in. But right now, I'm looking at a lovely girl who has livened many a command performance for you. And I don't know of a better way to start our birthday show than with a song from Lena Romay.
Brazil, the Brazil that I knew, where I wandered with you. Lived in my imagination. O Brasil, samba que dá, bamboleo que patinga. O Brasil do meu amor, terra de nosso Senhor. Brasil, pra mim, Brasil, abre a cortina do passado, tira a mãe preta do cerrado, bota o rebongo no congado. Brasil, Brasil, deixa cantar de novo o trovador. Corre a luz da lua, toda canta o do meu amor. Quero ver as agonas caminando, pelo salu está arrastando o seu vestido rendado. Brasil, pra mim, oh, tomorrow was another day, the morning found me miles away, with still a million things to say. Dims the sky above, recalling truths of our love. There's one thing I'm certain of, return I will to old
Very fine, Lena. That entitled you to a big piece of our birthday cake. And speaking of the birthday cake, there's an old friend of ours. He's not only got his mouth full, but he's stuffing a big helping into the bags under his eyes. Oh, Fred Allen. I'm afraid he didn't hear me. He's walking into that phone booth. I wonder if these comedians are funny over the phone, too. Let's do a little eavesdropping.
Hello, Mr. Benny's residence. Autograph oranges, 10 cents apiece.
Rochester, this is Mr. Fred Allen. I just got in from New York.
Oh, hello, Mr. Allen. Mr. Benny ain't home. He's
yes, I know that.
Why don't you come on over for dinner, Mr. Allen? Mr. Benny's pet chicken is awful sick.
His chicken is sick? What's wrong with it?
I'm frying it to death.
Well, Rochester, here's what I called about. Is there any chance of using Mr. Benny's room while he's away?
Did you say use or rent?
I get it. I tell you what, Rochester, I'll take the room, and when Mr. Benny gets home, I'll give him a check for whatever he wants.
Give him a check?
Well, yes.
That kind of eliminates the middleman, don't it?
Well, how about this? I'll give you the check, and you can give it to Mr. Benny.
How about this? You give me the cash and let nature take its course.
Well, I don't see why we should be arguing about money, Rochester. After all, you should be glad to have someone around the house. You must be mighty lonesome in that big place there, all alone.
All alone? Oh, Mr. Allen, come now.
Rochester, I hesitate to think what Mr. Benny will say when he gets home.
It won't do for radio, will it?
I'm afraid not. Well, Rochester, I guess I won't get much rest at the house of Benny with all your friends whooping it up around there.
I'm inclined to agree. You're so right.
So I'll just let the room go. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye, Mr. Allen. That was a close one. I nearly rented your room, honey.
Honey? Rochester, to whom were you just talking?
Oh, that was my cousin, Sylvester. Sylvester J. Honey. Goodbye, honey. I mean, Mr. Allen.
Say, Fred, if you're through with your phone calls, I'd like you to introduce our next guest.
Gentlemen of the AEF, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce our next guest, one of Hollywood's finest actors.
Who is it, Mr. Allen?
You'll find out, Portland. This man is a real actor. His diction, his every gesture, the way he lives and breathes a role.
Who is it?
The Academy Award winner, Mr. Paul Lucas.
Thank you, Fred Allen, and hello, man.
Cat, that was great, Paul. Hello, men. What a reading you gave that line.
It was nothing, Fred.
Nothing, he says. What inflection on that nothing. What timing. You know, I'm going to pick up plenty of pointers tonight.
By the way, Fred, what are you doing out here in Hollywood?
Well, I'm here to make a picture, Paul, but don't let it worry you.
No, it won't. It won't.
You see, I'm making a comedy. Mm,
comedy?
Yes.
Like Jack Benny, huh?
Mr. Lucas. If Jack Benny is a comedian, I, sir, am a fish peddler.
I'll take a pound of mackerel.
Shall I wrap it up or will you eat it here? But, Paul, I'm glad to have this chance to talk to you because in my picture, I have one dramatic scene where I have to make love to the leading lady. Now, do you think you could give me a little coaching?
Well, the main thing is to have confidence in yourself.
Uh-huh.
And be convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, let me hear you say, I love you.
I love you.
No. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Gentlemen, please, after the program.
Now, you stay out. out of this, Ken. I'm trying to win an Oscar.
Oh, brother, if that wins an Oscar, I'm a fish peddler.
Well, go across the hall. I'm working this studio.
That was grand. And Fred, here's my address, just in case you get in any gefilde. Say, have any of you seen Frank Sinatra? He's been a feature of countless AFRS shows, and I wanted him to sing a song for us here.
I saw him a minute ago. Oh, there he is, wading into the cake.
Well, he needs the nourishment. But I don't think it'd hurt him to sing a song for us now. Come on over, Frank Sinatra.
What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see. A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions. That's America to me. The place I work in, the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind out. That's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, and the dream that's been a-growing for 150 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people that are married.
Bravo, Frank. That was very strong. And now that we've touched lightly on the more serious type music with that rendition of Meadowland, let us explore further the serious vein by calling on a man who has done much to promote a wider appreciation of the cultural attainments of the human species, and whose mark will long be felt on classical music. He can truly be called the patron of the arts, Jimmy Durante.
Seeking my favorite diversion last night and feeling in the pink, I stepped into my plush upholstered hansom. Put my two footmen commanding the poop deck and my Arabian steeds going in a gentle trot. We approaches the theater marquee. And what happens? The red carpet is rolled out. My two footmen descend from the poop deck. They open the door and I steps out. Looking up from the gutter, I said, who told you to remove the running board? Picking myself up and ignoring the stares of the hoi polloi, I makes my entrance gallantly into the diamond horseshoe. Removing my top hat, my nylon gloves, my skunk muffler, and my pet ladder goulashes with the neon buttons, I looks around. Mrs. Van Schuyler is whispering to Mrs. Murray Hill. Mrs. Murray Hill is whispering to Mrs. Susquehanna. And what are they saying? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, they shouted, it's a bum. You see, a vicious rumor has been circulated. Just because I work in a saloon, they say I'm not fit to mingle in any other circle. That's ridiculous. Nightclubs are just the Mr. Hyde part of me. You have yet to meet the Dr. Jekyll. I'm Durante, the patron of the arts, an opera critic, and a man of parts. Last week I went to the opera. I loved it. All but one scene. That's where the 350-pound soprano sings to the baritone. She sings, take me in your arms and hold me close. By the hole look close, the bum would have to be curved like a banana. Those opera lovers all rave at Handel's Largo. Why, I heard better music written by Umbriaco. Now, what I say may sound absurd, but believe me, it's true. I've seen every opera, and I'll name them for you. Tales of the Vienna Rule, Madame Buttermilk, the Sextet from Lychee Nuts, and the quartet from rigor mortis. I coach sopranos and tenors in their parts, 'cause I'm Durante, the patron of the arts. Put the Metropolitan in the cellar. They said, Durante, we're in a hole. You've got to help us out. Stepping up on a soapbox left over from Rigoletto, I said, gentlemen, let's analyze this. Now take Romeo and Juliet. Romeo has to leave Juliet. But does he say shoo-shoo, baby? No. In opera, he says, I have but a moment to spend with you. A moment, my dear, to spend with you. A moment, my friend, a moment to spend. A moment. He's got one moment to spend, and he's taken 3 hours to tell her about it. Why, that bum is making a federal case out of it. Then she says, I will give you a kiss, my love, a burning kiss upon the lips, a burning kiss, a kiss upon the lips, a burning kiss, a kiss upon the lips, a burning kiss. By the time he's ready to kiss her, the fire is out. So I said, gentlemen, to save the opera, get yourself new lyrics that have style and renown. Like pistol-packing mama, lay that pistol down. They all gave thanks from the bottom of their hearts to Durante, the patron of the arts, a connoisseur, Durante, the patron of the arts.
Thank you, Jimmy. But that's enough of the classics for now. Sometimes the best laid plans go wrong. For this special birthday show tonight, we planned something perhaps a little ambitious, but certainly worthwhile. A short dramatic playlet directed by Ernst Lubitsch and combining the histrionic talents of Greer Garson and Orson Welles. Everything was all set. In fact, the final rehearsal was in progress at Miss Garson's home yesterday afternoon. Director Lubitsch threw Orson a cue, and who spoke up but Jack Benny.
Oh, Greer, is it all right if I have some of these walnuts here?
Oh, go ahead. Help yourself, Jack.
Thanks. Big one. Jumbo.
Now, Greer, aren't you too awesome? If you both turn to page 12 in the script, we will proceed.
Boy, these nuts are good.
Now, Gria, you are a wealthy society girl who is married to a famous New York... a famous New York stockbroker. And that's you, Orson. Thanks. But he is not in love with you, Gria. And as the French say, it is a marriage of convenience.
That was a tough one.
Mr. Bernie, will you stop eating those nuts?
Greer said I could. Anyway, Mr. Lubitsch, I don't want to sit around here like a bump on a log. If I can't have the lead in the play, isn't there something I can do?
All right, all right. If it makes you happy, you can play the part of the butler.
The butler? Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thanks.
Now, remember, Greer, you are the wife. Orson, you are the husband who doesn't understand her, and Jack...
I'm the butler whom Greer really loves.
You are the butler, that's all.
Okay, okay. Heavens to Betsy.
All right, Clea. Now start the scene. Remember, your husband is 2 hours late for dinner, and you are a nervous wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Go ahead. Call for the butler.
Yes. Oh, Smedley. Smedley.
Yes, madame. Smedley, yes. What is it, madame?
Are you sure my husband hasn't phoned?
No, madame.
Oh, that's strange. He said he'd be back at... What time is it, Smedley?
8:30. Shall I serve dinner, madame?
No, Smedley. No, I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. What's playing in the village?
George Washington Slept Here, starring Jack Benny.
That's not an escape. Read the lines that are written, please.
Well, it doesn't hurt to give my picture a plug. Doesn't change the plot any, does it? For heaven's sake.
These must listen.
All right, all right. Give me that again, Greer.
Okay. No, Smedley, I'm much too upset to you. I think I'll go to a movie. What's playing in the village?
Heaven Can Wait. How's that?
Much better.
And George Washington Slept Here. It's a double feature.
Jack, please.
All right, I'll start over again. Shall I serve dinner, madame?
No, Smedley, no. I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. Is one of my pictures playing in the village?
There can't be 3 features on 1 bill.
Shut up. Now, Gria, at this point, the husband enters the room. Lady Austin, make your entrance, please.
Right. Good evening, darling. So sorry I'm late.
Oh, Ronald, you're always late and you're always sorry. It's been like this for months. What has come between us? If I only knew, perhaps we could work things out.
It's nothing, my dear. It's just that I've been so busy lately at the office. Let's forget it.
Dinner is served. Oh, pardon me, I came in too soon there.
Oh, I can't understand it, Ronald. We must come to some understanding. This can't go on forever.
Gwen, let's be adult about the whole thing, shall we? Every night it's the same argument, this constant nagging, nagging, nagging. I tell you, I've been working at the office.
Oh, but I phoned your office, and they said you left at 2 this afternoon.
Well, I had business at the bank. Besides, I forgot where I parked my car.
Some genius can't even find his car.
Jack, stop interrupting. Continue, Greer.
Oh, it's no use, Ronald. I know you're lying. Look at you. Everything you say and everything you do gives you away.
Now, Gwen.
What's that in your collar? Is it lipstick?
It ain't ketchup.
Jack, please.
Well, I don't want to stand around here like a dope.
You've got a line right now. Say it.
Oh, yes. Beg pardon. Madame, dinner is served.
Jack, don't use such thick accents.
You should talk. Dinner is served.
Ah, dinner. Come, Gwen.
We're not having dinner, Ronald. Not until we've reached a definite understanding.
I'm hungry.
Oh, Ronald, I can't go through another day of this uncertainty. I must know. Do you love me or not?
Of course I love you.
You're lying, Ronald. Lying.
Very well, then, I am lying.
Gee.
You might as well know the truth, Gwen. I've never loved you. Never.
I must be nuts.
And if you weren't so stupid, you'd have known it a long, long time ago.
Oh, Ronald, what are you saying?
I married you for your money. That's all, money. Everybody else knew it. If you weren't such a silly, blind little fool, you'd have realized it yourself.
Oh, stop, Ronald, stop.
Well, Gwen, now you know how things stand between us, and the sooner you divorce me, the happier I'll be.
No, no, I never divorced you, Ronald. I couldn't live without you. I couldn't.
Tears, woman's tears. Oh, stop the dramatics.
Ronald.
I'm moving to my club. Medley, pack my clothes.
I wouldn't touch your dirty clothes.
Jack, stick to the line. You're the butler.
All right, I'm the butler. I don't care.
Continue, Austin.
Well, goodbye, Gwen. I'm going to the club. Our attorneys can get together tomorrow.
Oh, don't go, Ronald. Please, don't go.
Stop hanging on to me.
I won't give you up. I won't.
Stop it, I say. Let go of me. Then take that. That's the last straw. Take off your coat, Austin.
Jack, that's only a play.
Play nothing. Pep, God, what are those dudes? Well.
Jack, listen. Don't behave yourself. You can't be in the play.
The heck with the play. If you think I'm going to stand by and see this cad strike the woman I love.
The woman you love?
Yes, girl. You might as well know it now. I've been crazy about you for years.
Oh, Jack, please.
I don't care if the whole world knows it. I love you, Gear, as I've never loved anyone. I know you will never feel the same way about me, so I'll walk out of your life forever. But before I go, kiss. Goodbye, my love.
Now I know why they call them the Waukegan Wolf.
And so you see why we don't have our play for you tonight.
I just noticed a good friend of mine over on the other side of the room, and since the Armed Forces Radio Service comes under his jurisdiction as Chief of Public Information of the War Department, I think he should say a few words. During the past war, he was a combat man and was better known to the men who served under him in the 7th Corps as Lightning Joe. I'd like to introduce him to all of you. Lieutenant General J. Lawton Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Barrymore. I want to voice my personal appreciation to you people in Hollywood and the entertainment world for the many hours you have given to Command Performance and the other programs of the Armed Forces Radio Service. When I was on duty with troops overseas, it was a pleasure during moments of relaxation to turn in our Armed Forces radio stations and hear the programs of American radio. The spirit and the cooperation which you people gave to this enterprise was all important to the success that the Armed Forces Radio Service has achieved. The mission of our uniformed men and women today, to keep the peace so dearly won, has carried them to far corners of the world. To assist them in this mission, the Armed Forces Radio Service plays a vital role. The entertainment and the news programs brought to them by Armed Forces Radio Service keeps alive that vital contact with home. There is no place for a feeling of loneliness if high morale is to be maintained. I'm happy to say that AFRS, along with our other forms of communication, has made the troops overseas feel that they are in touch with the people at home. I know I speak for all our men and women in uniform when I say congratulations to all of you on this 5th anniversary of the Armed Forces Radio Service. May you enjoy many more.
Thank you, General Collins.